Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the season finale of Storytime with Brandon. Now, when I started this show, I knew who I wanted on it. And this guy, top of the list, okay? I said when we're going to do the seasons, I want this guy to be a season finale because I know he's got stories and they're always incredible. And he doesn't disappoint, ladies and gentlemen. One of my favorite comedians, author, gambler, an all-around incredible dude, Mr. Brant Tobler. I'm not even going to tell you what this one's about, folks. Just jump in and fall in love. This guy has the gift of gab, and he's gabbing today on Storytime with Brandon.
It's been a crazy year, as we all know. Like, I mean, obviously the pandemic was awful for all of us, but in a weird way, it was pretty good for me.
Yeah.
For this reason, I have an amazing girlfriend. We started dating. We've been together about 3 years now. So, and I'm 43, so it's time for me to make a move here. So we had talked about getting married, and I went to We had talked about it, and I'd never been married, never bought a ring or anything. So we started going ring shopping, which is scary for a broke comedian because I had no money at the time, but she right. never knew. I did a good job hiding from her the fact I had no money this whole time, which is, like, I'm sure something you know about. And comedians, it's a sad day. It's just sad to look back on because I always knew exactly how much money I had in my account.
Like, oh, yeah.
By the second. So, you know, if I had 470 in there and we went out to dinner 78, you know, I'm like, shit, now I'm down to 392.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm really good with numbers, but I always had a running count of how much money I had. And part of being a comedian, especially when you're dating someone, you know, they think you're, like, famous. And I'm not famous, but you do want to live up to the hype of being a comedian because it's like it is a glamorous kind of job, but the common person doesn't really understand how much money we make.
Right.
You know, I always say, what's that?
Huge variance of money.
Yeah.
Like, you could go from no money to, like,
yeah. Well, that's what I always
say. So much money.
You're broke, then you're surviving, then you're just rich. Like, a lot of our friends are just rich, and a lot of our friends, you know, they need $50 to pay their phone bill. And so I was broke the whole start of a relationship. And then we went, but I never let her knew that or let her know that. So then we went ring shopping, and then she's like, what kind of budget are we on? And I didn't know what to say. I don't know how much rings cost. And I was like, oh, you know, I'd say, like, probably around 10,000 is what I said. But at the time I maybe had like $900 to my name.
Gotcha.
And I was like, but that's just kind of how I live my life, which I don't recommend. And it's going to sound kind of cheesy, but I always believe I'm not a religious dude, but I just believe, like, maybe I should believe that there's some kind of higher power, because something is always, I've always just gotten, it always comes through whenever I just think something, it always comes through. So at the time I said this, and I didn't know. And then, so the pandemic starts, and then I didn't think there's any way I'd be able to get unemployment because I haven't paid taxes in like 20 years. I probably shouldn't be telling this on a podcast, but we're gonna keep it real. So I didn't pay taxes in like 20 years. So I didn't think I'd get a stimulus or any of that.
Right.
So then I was like, I didn't know what I was gonna do. But then I talked to this girl in Vegas who's a friend of mine. She's a stripper, and she hadn't paid taxes either, but she said she started getting the money. So I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm gonna apply for this. All they could do is say no.
Yeah.
So I applied for unemployment, and then I applied for the stimulus, and then I just start getting money, like,
oh,
a
nice.
Lot of money, right? So, and then
oh, yeah, with that stimulus unemployment, or that, COVID unemployment, it was like bonus 600.
But I was behind on it because I was scared that I wouldn't be able to get it. So I didn't apply for it. This is about 3 months in. Then I was like, all right, screw it. So then I apply for it, and then they give me the backlog. So then one day I get a check for like $7,000, which is so much money to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we make $50 a show at most nights, $100 maybe. Excuse me. So I got $7,000. I was like, holy moly. Then I got the stimulus for $1,200. So I was like, dang, I'm balling.
Yeah. But
then they started doing all these artists like grants. So then people were sending me these grants and I was like, screw it, let's just go for it. So then I filled out a $1,000 grant. And then in the top right corner, it was like, it just said, you have $15,400 available. Do you want to check yes or no? And I don't read. I didn't do anything. I just check yes. And then, like 3 days later, I look at my bank account. Boom, I got the 1,000 and I got the 15,400. So now I got like 25,000, right?
Fuck.
Which is so much money to me. Now I'm balling, right?
Yeah.
So then I keep getting unemployment. There's another grant for 5,000 I get. There's one in Wyoming I get. So then I get up to like 40. I had like 45,000. And I was like, damn. So I was like, I'm gonna buy this ring. So then I went to buy the ring, and these fucking bitches at the ring, they upsell me, and like a true sucker.
Oh yeah.
I am. They're like, this is the one she wanted, but you know, this diamond's a little bit. So then I buy a ring for $13,000, which is crazy to me.
Yeah. You know?
So I buy this beautiful ring and I'm like, I can't believe this. I buy this ring, right? So then, but then I never proposed. I never proposed. So I just had this ring sitting around. I had it hidden in a pair of my Jordans in my closet. And then at the time we were going, so now I had some money, and my girl, she makes a lot of money. She's a hairstylist and she's really good at it. So we had money. So then we had taken some trips. We would go to like Mexico and we went to Hawaii, but then so then she just kept like buying us trips to the beach, I think thinking I'm going to propose as soon as I get to a beach.
Oh yeah.
But then I was like, yo, I'm not proposing. Cause I had a plan when I was going to propose. I had a plan. So we had our first kiss downtown, where I used to live, and where we had our first kiss, there's a bar across the street with like a rooftop bar. So my plan was, one of my good friends is an amazing photographer. So I was going to have him hide. We're going to go back to the place where we had our first kiss. And then I would propose, and then she would say yes, hopefully. And then everybody up on the rooftop would cheer, and it would be all our family and friends as a surprise. Right.
Oh,
and it would
hell
be on,
yeah.
It would be on Blake Street, because I have a bad relationship with my family, with my father. I try to kill my dad. If it's a long story, it's on Comedy Central if you want to see it. But so we had made a decision. I want to get rid of my last name just because my family's awful on my father's side. So we were going to get married. We were going to change our last name to Blake. So I was going to propose. Blake is a street here in Colorado, in downtown Denver, where I lived when I met her. So, I was going to propose right there where we had our first kiss, then the Blake sign behind, photographer, I had it all planned out, right? Everything perfect. But then the pandemic comes, and then now it's just like a homeless camp where we had our first kiss.
Yeah.
And that rooftop bar is closed. So this amazing proposal that I had, now it's gone. So I was trying to figure out what else to do. And then so on our first date, she had come to Comedy Works and watch. We had met on Hinge, and she lived in Colorado Springs. She came up.
You met on Hinge?
Yeah, we met on Hinge.
Wow.
It was cool, which was my, if you're out there, if you're listening, you're on the dating ones. Hinge was the best for me because
really?
You could show a little personality and be kind of funny. Whereas like Bumble and Tinder, I feel like it's just, you know, just swipe. I did better on Hinge because they would have their questions and I could show a little, you know, show I was funny and put in jokes. We met on Hinge, and then so she's coming up, and then she came to my first show at Comedy Works, and then we were leaving and she ran into this pole in the car in the parking lot.
Oh shit.
And then on the right side of the car, so I couldn't get out of the door. So I was like stuck in the car, and then I was like, are we all right? Is the car all right? And then I'll never forget, she was like, well, we're not gonna let it ruin a good night. Let's go. And then we went downtown, and I was like, this girl, this is my speed. So then I was like, I think I'm gonna propose where we had our first date. I'll do that, you know? But then, so then I had it all set up to propose, and she's taking a nap. And then I wake her up. I'm like, hey, get ready. We're going to a show. I made up some story. And then she comes out of a nap and she could tell I was acting weird. And she's like, are you going to like propose tonight? And I was like,
oh no.
Nope. I said, you can go back to sleep. And I go, what? And she goes, oh my God, you were going to propose, weren't you? And I go, not now. So I go back to sleep, order Chinese. Like, then she told me, she's like, you got to have a better poker face. So I was like, babe, I have an incredible poker face because I played poker like a million times, but I've never proposed. I don't have a
proposal. Right. You don't have a proposal face.
I was scared to death. Right. So then I put it off and then another month went by and I didn't want to do it on Valentine's or anything. So then, I mean, she knows I have the ring. Every it's in the house. She knows that. And I knew I had to, we were going to Vegas. So I was like, I'd like to propose before Vegas because I hated going on trips and her always just expecting it on the trip. So I told myself, I got to propose this weekend. It was the plan. I told myself I'm proposing this weekend, right? So then I sports gamble a lot. Like I bet on DraftKings every day and I have a little gambling background. I used to work for some professional gamblers in Vegas. So I gamble on DraftKings every day.
That's legit.
Yeah. So
dude, I see those ads and I'm like, is this something I can really do?
Yeah. So I do. Oh, most people lose. But so this day, so then St. Patty's Day comes, right? And I'd been doing good. I'd won on over the weekend. I'd won $5,000 on DraftKings. I won like 5,400, right? So but then on this day, I had a feeling because I work on it. Actually, I listen to podcasts and read a lot. And then I woke up on St. Patty's Day. And I told her, I go, hey, babe, I think we're going to have a big night tonight. And she's like, okay. And she doesn't really pay attention. She doesn't like sports. She's like, okay, whatever. So then I make all my bets for the day. And then she comes home. And so this is – and another reason she didn't really care, she was opening her own salon that day. It was her very first day. So I'm kind of a dumbass for, like, she has enough on her plate.
If she's right.
She's going to open a salon. I'm like, hey, babe, I think I'm going to win some money gambling tonight. I don't do anything in the day. I go play pickleball or whatever, and I make my bets. And then I come home, and then she comes home from work. She's like, and I'm like, how was your day? She's like, great. She had a good day. She's like, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm not doing that good. These stupid games are going bad. And she's like, what? She's like, you said you're going to win today. What's going on? You got to have positive energy. I was like, okay. So then her mom, I love her mom, but her mom just sends us these care packages for every holiday, you know? She sends us these care packages, which are just full of shit that nobody wants. I swear she just goes to like the dollar store and just gets whatever they don't want from last year. And then she sends it to us. So since it's St. Patty's Day, we open up this package and it's just full of St. Patty's like garbage. But like, so there's like a necklace, like a green four-leaf clover necklace I put on. And then her mom makes these little packets of, she calls it emergency confetti, and it's just a little packet of confetti, and then you just open it up and you throw it all over. It just makes a fucking mess. It's like the worst gift ever.
Yeah, so it's glitter on it.
Yeah, so we open up this box and there's a bunch of emergency confetti and some bullshit St. Patty's stuff. So I put on this cheap dollar green necklace, and then we're laughing at all this shit. So then it's weird. I put on this necklace, as dumb as this is. And the games start turning, right? And then all this miracle stuff happened. It would take too far to explain, but one game went to overtime. A guy got a rebound with 1 second left. So I'm watching it all happen. I have two TVs in my living room with games on both, and I'm watching them all come together. And I'm like, holy shit, it's going good. And then I'm like, oh God, it's going good. And she's like, what? And then she's talking to her best friend. I'm just pacing around in the living room because I'm like, holy shit. Holy shit. And then, so we win, and everything's coming together. So then I'm like, hey, pull out your phone. And at this point, I think I'm up about $20,000, right? So I'm like, oh my God. So I go, hey, pull out your phone, add this up. So I tell her, you know, add these numbers. So I tell her 17, 18, 9. And then so I go, what's that? She turns it around, $63,000. I'm up $63,000. So I'm like, holy shit, I'm up $63,000, right? So I go, and there's still games going. So I was like, okay, let me see. So then I'm starting to like, everything's crazy, you know? So then I go, hey, get us a reservation at Ocean Prime. Let's go out to dinner. She doesn't really understand. And and I don't blame her. She's like, "What? We're up." I go, "We just won $63,000, and there's still a bunch of games going." So then I go,
and "Those games can't affect that 63."
Yeah, that's
negatively.
Already done. Yeah, okay. So it's done. We got 63 in the bank, but we still have a bunch of good stuff going. So I go, "Hey, make a reservation at Ocean Prime. We're going out to dinner." So then I go and I take a shower, and I'm in the shower. I'm like, "Man, this might be it. I should probably propose. Maybe this is it tonight." So then I get out of the shower. I check my phone. We win another $8,000. We're up to $71,000. We're up $71,000, and then we still have like, I still have one more game where I need one guy to get a double-double. So now I'm like, shit, we're up. So I get out of the bathroom. I go, "I'm up $71,000, babe." She's like, "Holy shit." So she's like, "All right, get ready. We got to go to dinner." So then I'm like, so then she bought me these boxers for Christmas, like these $30 boxers, right? Which I told her not to do. I go, "They're just dumb boxers. Like, don't spend $30. I wear $5 boxers."
Yeah.
But she bought me these nice boxers for Christmas. So I told her, "I'm going to save them for the day I propose." So I had them stashed in my closet. But then she goes downstairs to get ready. But I knew I had to sneak and get those boxers on because I didn't want her to see, because she knew that was proposal. And I had to go through my Jordans and get the ring out of the box. So I sneaky put on these boxers, and I'm still sweating these games on my phone. And I get ready, and then I'm like, "Okay, this is it. I need to do it tonight." So then I go, so I take the ring, and then I hide it in the bathroom. And then I get dressed, and then she comes up, and she's like, "Come on, we got to go. We have a reservation." I'm like, "Okay, just one sec. Let me go to the bathroom." So I'm all dressed and ready to go, and then I go in the bathroom, and I'm like, "Okay." And I tell myself, "When you come out of the bathroom, this is it. Just go. This is what you say. Just go propose.
Game time.
This is it." And then this is the perfect time. We just won $71,000. We're good. And like I said, what was still left was $35,000, which I thought we had a really good chance to win. So I was like, "We're going to be up. We're going to win $105,000, $106,000 today." So I go in the bathroom, I take a deep breath, I look in the mirror, I'm like, "This is it, just come out, just do this." And so then I come out of the bathroom, and she's standing right there. I thought she'd be in limbo. She's standing right there, and she has some of that emergency confetti in her hand, and she just takes it and she throws it at me. And she's like, "Congratulations, babe, you did it." And I don't know what I said, I think something douchey, like, "No, congratulations, you did it." And I pull the ring out right there, and I just go to a knee and I propose.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh my God." And she's like, of course, says yes. And I'm like, perfect. So, and it caught her off guard because she's like, "There's no way you'll surprise me now." But she was definitely surprised. So then she says yes. And we get in the car, we call our moms and tell our moms. And then we go to, so we get to Ocean Prime and we walk in, and the guy's like, "Are you celebrating anything?" She's like, "Yeah, I just opened my own salon today." And the guy's like, "Congratulations." And she's like, "And we just got engaged." And the guy's like, "Oh my God, congratulations." And then she goes, "And he just won $71,000. And the waiter's like, "Oh my God, congratulations." So that's what he actually cared about. So then we sit at Ocean Prime, and then so we're ordering everything. And then, like I said, we still have this other game. So she's just sitting there looking at the ring, and I'm just sitting under the table looking at my phone because I need Luca to get a double-double, and he has nine assists. I need one more assist, and there's like 3 minutes left for another $35,000, which she was good about. You know, usually at your engagement dinner, you want to be, you would want to pay attention to your fiance, but she understood. So
right.
Watching this game, and then he ends up one short, which kind of sucked because I had won $71,000 proposed, but then to be that close to another $35,000, it was like, oh man. And then I had to, you know, get myself out of it. So then we had an amazing dinner, and then the bill came. Bill was like $340. And I've always wanted to do that baller shit where you just tip the
bill. Yeah.
So I got to tip the bill, which was really cool. And then, and that was it. And then I went home, and then and of course I couldn't sleep that. I mean, it was just such a whirlwind of everything, and it just worked out so perfectly. So it definitely is the best day of my life.
For a million reasons.
Far. Yeah. So
at least 74,000 reasons, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So to have that money, and just, I mean, obviously I knew I was going to propose, but then just to have the stress of like, it just all came together perfectly. to have that stress off my back to know I proposed. And then just financially, I mean, I'm not rich, but I don't.
You're comfortable now.
I had, like I said, at the start of this story, I had, you know, like $1,000 when we were ring shopping. At this point, I had over $100,000 and I had bought a $13,000 ring. So for like the next week, I would just be walking around or driving and just be like, I can't fucking believe this. I have $100,000 and I bought my girl her dream ring. When a year ago, I was like, how am I going to finance this? Am I going to get it? Well, how am I going to figure out a way to get her a ring that she would love? So it was just the craziest, you know, it was the craziest day. It's still, now that I tell the story, it's just like, I still can't believe it happened.
Yeah, that's an insane 24-hour period.
Yeah, it was really cool. So it's, you know, it goes back to what I said when I said my budget was 10,000 and I had 1,000 and I just kind of believed. I don't know who does this shit for me, but because I had told this stuff to my girl before, and this, I don't know how it always happens, but somehow somebody's looking out for me, because just stuff like that just seems to happen when I need it the most. So it was it was crazy. So now, you know, I'm engaged and now I have a budget for the wedding, because like I said, obviously I hate my family, since I'm gonna change my last name, but that's one of the downsides of having a shitty father, is now I gotta pay for my own wedding.
Out of pocket.
And her dad's there. That's the funny thing too. My dad was in prison the whole time we were kids. And then that's kind of what we hit it off on Hinge, because in the story on Comedy Central, I talk about how my dad went to prison when I was a kid and my mom said he was at college. So then that's how we connected on Hinge. She sent me a message that said my dad was also in college. And I didn't even get it, like an idiot. And then her dad.
Oh, and then you had to put it together. And it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, then like, oh, wait, you'd watch my Comedy Central. So her dad was in prison also the whole time. She was a kid, and then he died of a drug overdose. So that's kind of how we hit it off, is having shitty dads. But having shitty dads is going to make us pay for our own wedding. So maybe the gambling gods are like, I'm sorry, you guys have bad dads. Here's $70,000
to pay for this wedding. Yeah.
So yeah, it was. I mean, it's just a crazy. It just was a crazy, lucky, a lucky day.
That's so.
And now everybody jokes. They're like, yeah. I don't know if she'd have said yes the day before, but when you win $70,000, it was much easier for her to say.
Yeah, it's really easy to be like, I want to get a part of that.
She knew she at least immediately had $35,000 in the separation whenever.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a wild one, man.
Well, I'm glad it worked out, dude. I'm glad shit's going well. Like, it's, you always want to hear good people are doing good, you know?
Yeah, it took a lot of misses, but I finally got the right one. So that part of it was probably just me just growing up and, you know, like I always say, I have 10 failed relationships, and there's a variable in those relationships, and that's me. So
yeah,
I eventually figured out all these bitches aren't crazy. Maybe I just stopped, you know, I had to be like, oh, it's not them. It's me. Let's work on me.
And I had that realization when I quit drinking. I was like, once I quit drinking, I'm going to lose a ton of weight. I'm going to get sexy. I'm going to be like funnier. And then like nothing changed, dude. I didn't drink for a year and my life got inarguably worse in every single way. Like, I gained weight. I stopped going on dates. I was super depressed. And I was like, maybe the alcohol wasn't the problem. Maybe I'm the problem and I have to address myself.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just part of growing up, man.
Yeah.
I know it was for me eventually. Now, I was always pointing fingers at someone else, and now I most of the time I can just go, oh yeah, that's totally me. And I recognize it quickly. Oh God, I did it the other day. I was a jerk to this dude. I was playing pickleball. I've grown up a lot, because I used to be a dick in competitive situations, which I'm not proud of. And then one day I was like, I'm so proud of myself, because I'm not a jerk anymore when I'm competitive. And then I also realized, well, I'm not as good as I was, so it's hard to be. But I was being a pouty little baby to this dude. and I drove home, and then it drove me crazy. And then I went back to the courts hoping he'd be there in the afternoon, and immediately was like, hey man, I'm really sorry. I was acting like a real bitch. I was totally out of line, and I was, not that I deserve a pat on the back, but I was proud of myself. Like, all right, that's how you handle shit. Where in the past I would just be like, I think that's part of growing up. But,
and that probably drastically changed that dude's opinion of not only the situation, but now he's like, dude, this guy came back and was like, oh dude, that's like
the best karma. I tell my girl that too, because she deals with a lot of anxiety and shit, which I don't understand. I understand what anxiety is, but I never had any anxiety at all. I just don't really worry about anything, and she does. And so we're like opposites on that. But I tell her, like, you should just, I go to bed at night just comfortable with everything I did every day. Like in that one, in the old days, I'd go to bed and then that would haunt me. But then I went and fixed it. I was like, babe, you don't have to worry. Just do the best you can every day, and then you just sleep fine at night, you know? That's what I always say about, again, not to bring it back to how bad my dad is. My dad's an incredible bullshitter and a liar, and it was something I didn't put in this book, but I was like, the one dad can't bullshit is sleep. And I know he doesn't sleep good at night because he knows what the fuck he did to everybody.
Yep.
So he can pretend like he's good, and he can put on the charm, and he can lie, but when it's just him staring at the ceiling, you can't bullshit sleep. You can't just go, oh yeah, you know deep down what you did. So I think that was part of, I learned as much as like having a bad dad, really every day I don't know if I appreciate it, but just lessons like that is like, I think I'll be the best dad. Well, I don't know if you can't be the best dad, but I think I'll be a good dad.
You'll be present.
Yeah. Just learning from all the mistakes he made. So see. That's next. Hopefully that'll actually be, we'll get this wedding out of the way.
That'll be the best day of your life.
Get my dick to work one more time, and we'll get a kid in here.
It's only got to work
that'll
once,
that'll be the
man.
Best day of my life.
Yeah. It's only got to work one time, dude. It's only got to work one time.
Trust me. We're on different pages. It doesn't listen to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, he didn't disappoint, Mr. Brant Tobler. That story had it all. Love, money, and that's it, because there's nothing else in this world. One more time for Brant Tobler, guys. You can find him on the internet, but you can get his book, Free Roll, anywhere books are sold. We're talking Amazon. We're talking Audible. We're talking other places that books are sold. We don't need to name them. You can also find him on Instagram at Brant Tobler, BrantTobler. That's going to do it for this season of Storytime with Brandon. I got to tell you, I had a great time. We had some great interviews. We're going to keep it rolling in a couple of months when we bring it back for season two. We're going to have the same quality of guests, same caliber of stories, same poorly produced music by myself. That's going to happen. We're not done. We're never done until we are. And then we're truly done. I've been Brandon Patrick. You can find me on social media at Brandon Comedy practically everywhere. Thanks for listening. That means a lot.